The U.S. Postal Service is never more in demand than now, the year-end holiday season. But postal employees face more than a heavy workload. Year-round, they're dealing with the threat of assault as they make their rounds, sometimes in the dark. And then there's this: Postal Service employees sexually assaulted by their coworkers. In a new report by the News 4 I-Team, two postal workers tell investigative reporter Tisha Thompson what they say happened to them and the retaliation they faced after speaking out. And just a word of warning, parts of the News 4 report you're about to hear are graphic.
It was a frigid morning when we climbed this mountain near Albany, New York.
We made it!
To meet this woman, Diane Caruso Rustin.
We're pretty tough up here.
Diane says she had to be tough to work more than a decade inside a large postal processing plant where they sort mail 24 hours a day.
The culture of the post office is it's an all-boys club.
Good at getting along with the guys working alongside her, Diane says she thought she was going to get a promotion when she walked into one of her manager's offices.
Next thing I know, he pushes me up against the wall, and he pushes down my left side of my pants, which, you know, those stretchy pants. He licked my leg. I was like, I got startled, and then took his thing out and he told me to kiss it.
The married mother of two says she pushed her way out of the room and quickly wrote down everything that happened before filing a formal complaint through her union. That, she says, is when the retaliation began.
One of the supervisors grabbed me and told me, you better keep your mouth shut if you know it's good for you.
Diane says the retaliation grew worse as a team of investigators tried to get her to sign an incorrect statement of facts. She refused. And that, not the assault, is what finally broke her.
It's the cover of the intimidation that they do to you.
The News 4 I-Team has uncovered a list of reported sexual assaults against postal employees from across the country never before released to the public, including more than a dozen here in our area within just the last few years. Records we obtained show the assaults range from men groping and flashing mail carriers on their routes to more serious attacks like the violent rape of a postal clerk in Silver Spring. When we added it all up, we realized one out of every five sexual assaults against postal employees were committed by other postal employees.
To ask somebody to get down on their knees in the middle of the aisle, in the middle of a workroom floor, to give you oral sex, I think is sexual. If that's not sexual harassment, what is?
Noelle Whalen says her managers repeatedly ignored multiple complaints she made about being harassed, stalked, and finally sexually assaulted by one of her supervisors inside this processing plant in Connecticut.
This is a person that I had asked numerous times not to touch me, not to go near me, not to speak inappropriately to me, and he then attacks me.
Noelle kept all of her paperwork, but when we asked the post office for its records on the investigation of her attack, we received hundreds of blank and redacted pages. But the post office assured us it has a zero tolerance policy for sexual assault.
When the federal government is an employer and then it doesn't follow its own rules, that makes this sense of betrayal or, you know, wrongness somehow worse.
Sexual violence experts like Maya Raghu say this list could be much longer because sex assault is one of the most underreported crimes. And as we discovered, Noelle and Diane's cases were investigated by their human resources department, meaning their cases were never reported to the Postal Service's internal police force and never made it to our list.
If it's unwanted, then in most places that's probably some sort of battery, let's say, which is a crime.
To get answers, we repeatedly asked to interview Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe, until in August, we were told by a spokeswoman if we tried to approach him, we could be investigated and arrested for threatening a postal employee. which is how we ended up at this news conference at the Postal Museum 2 weeks ago, as the Postmaster General released a new holiday stamp. We counted at least 11 different people in his team scrambling to keep us from interviewing their boss, pleading with us not to approach him.
Mr. Donahoe, I'm Tisha Thompson with the News 4 IT. Did you know that we can turn the camera from you?
No.
Donahoe told us the Postal Service uses an extensive process to investigate violence against its employees.
There is nothing ever that is left uninvestigated. We prosecute people to the full extent of the law.
Some of your employees have told me that after they were sexually assaulted, they were retaliated against when they made a complaint.
The Postal Service has got a number of avenues for employees to air issues, whether it's the OIG hotline, the grievance process, EEOC. We have watched these carefully over the years. We've taken this very seriously and acted on it.
I'm sure, as the boss, it also concerns you that your employees are saying that. What do you want to tell them?
Our employees are safe. We provide a safe environment. We provide an environment where if there is a problem, we respond to it.
And that's Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe speaking with News 4's Tisha Thompson. And Tisha joins me now in studio live with more on this investigation she's been working on for how long, Tisha?
A year and a half, if you would believe it. We had a terrible rape in 2013, during the summer 2013. Your folks may remember it. It was in Silver Spring, and there was a postal clerk who was on her lunch break and was, I think, eating lunch at the time. And it was a true stranger danger, and it was a violent rape. She was pulled into the bushes, and it was terrible, and we covered it. And I remember saying to myself, you know, I wonder how often this happens to the people who deliver the mail. That's where the story really began. And it seems like such an obvious question once you start to think about it. Well, of course, these women, particularly women, but it can happen to men too, are out on these routes and anything can happen. I mean, they really are sort of sitting targets because everybody knows that they're going to be in the neighborhood at a certain time, certain part of the day. That being said, what we did not expect, and we saw quickly when we got back the documents through our Freedom of Information Act request, was that one out of five of these assaults were happening actually inside postal facilities and were happening by employees against other employees. And as we discovered, oftentimes it was supervisors. And that was just very surprising. And it's worth reiterating that these women that we talked to, they're not on our list because it was considered a human resources issue and not a postal inspection police or a postal police investigation, which means they never made it to the list. And, you know, sex assault already is an incredibly underreported crime. And all of the experts we talked to, and we talked to quite a few, say this list is probably much, much longer.
And this is a nationwide phenomenon?
Yes. So when we first put in the request for this information, I got a call back from the FOIA officer who said, you know, I need some zip codes. And I said, no, I don't want zip codes. I want the whole country. And she said, well, we've never given that out before. And I said, okay, I can handle it. Send it on. And so it was just thousands of records. And the records we asked for were every kind of violent crime. And we did another story where we found that robberies are up more than 300% in the last 4 years, starting in 2010. We looked specifically at 2010 through 2013, because 2014 is not done yet. And so robberies were up. There's sex assaults. Sex assaults are pretty steady. The phenomenon with the sex assaults was, of course, it was happening behind the closed doors. It's happening inside postal processing facilities, you know, these large factories where they sort the mail, and it's happening inside post offices.
We're speaking with Tisha Thompson. She's an investigative reporter with News 4 here in Washington. And that larger issue of violence against postal workers, such as when they're making their rounds, I think that burst onto the scene when someone nearby was murdered.
Exactly,
about a year ago.
Exactly. So I had put in the request in 2013, and I was sitting there waiting for it in the summertime. And then in November of last year, a couple months later, we had the murder of Tyson Barnett. He was on an overtime shift. It was around 7 o'clock at night. He was over in Chevrolet, and it was one of the more lower paid. There's a technical term for it, but he's a lower paid postal carrier, one of the new guys, a young guy, and they still do not know what happened. He was shot, and they are still looking for the guys or people who did it. But so there we go. Like, wait a second, what happened? This is a very violent crime, and these very violent crimes do happen. I mean, I've been told about truck jackings that happened in Florida. I've been told about guys who are, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning taking the mail off a big truck and putting it into the facility, being held up in sort of what you would consider to be the middle of the night. There was a lot of focus after the Barnett murder about it, you know, it's too dangerous for our people to be there at night. If you're already in a dangerous area, why are you out there at night? And it's a much larger story about processing plants being shut down, routes being shifted, guys working longer hours. But we did find that most of the robberies are happening during the day because, I mean, it was something like 80% of the robberies sure. happened during the day because that's when the guys are out there delivering the mail. And they're so out there in the day.
What's your sense of how the Postal Service management is dealing with it other than, you know,
I wish I could tell you. You know, working in D.C., I'm from D.C., I work in D.C., a lot of my friends work in the federal government, a lot of my family works in the federal government. There's a certain way of doing things in D.C. Everyone here is media trained. I'm a reporter. I get the joke. And there's a process. You put in the request. You probably get told no. And you say, listen, I'm TV. And you go back and forth. And you say, I can't just take a statement. This story really is the first time in my 10-year career here where in D.C. that I've been here for 10 years that I just I just could not get any answers. Instead, I would get, well, just send us a little bit more information. Have these women sign this waiver. Can you send us a couple more questions? We need to get a couple more documents. We need you to send a couple more FOIAs. And you know,
trying to wear you down, sounds like.
I think that probably might. I don't know. But I am willing to go as far as I've got to go to get a fair and reasonable answer. And I said repeatedly to the post office, look, let's sit down. Let's talk about this. You know what I'm talking to you about. I'm going to let you know everything that I've been told. Here's what I've got. And they just said no, nope, 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 nope. And I said, this is the big stuff. This is murder. This is robbery. This is rape. And when we approached the Postmaster General, it had been 6 months. Wow. I had talked to half a dozen public relations folks, and I just think they didn't take me seriously. And this is serious stuff. So, you know, reporters aren't trying to make your life harder. I know a lot of people work that listen to you work for the federal government and maybe like, oh, the media. When we're doing these stories, we're really trying to get answers. And I still don't have answers because they wouldn't answer them.
All right. Tisha Thompson is an investigative reporter with News 4 Television here in Washington. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.